Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord one more time. We trust God to do a quick work tonight and to cut it short in righteousness. Just pour out your heart to Jesus, even as we've been learned thus far. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you depend on Him for every breath. Thank Him for purpose. Thank Him for understanding. Thank Him for intimacy, for fellowship. Bless the name of the Lord tonight. Thank you, Abba Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. Sakoba rahasta fela krosta fela brahastas. Ligabonda sabarado sakarida hadagas. Zinzo Frakatalis Savanaro Savila Karadas Roba Sapateke Pondro Faragadia Legedom Zarapara Sega Paradinas Ragabondo Safrekida Paradom Zavragadia. Different heights, in different dimensions. There is a realm in your interaction with God where you can talk because you know what to say. There are other realms you have brought to. Everything you say will be wrong
teacher of God's word
because you don't know Him at that level. So you become still.
Better teacher of God.
He said, be still and know.
Light.
You know, when the glory of God descended on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter was weak. He started talking based on what he was taught. He said, let's make three texts. He didn't know what was happening. He didn't know he had journeyed beyond human syllables and theology. He had come into glory realms. Nobody answered him, because if they answer you there, they will judge you. The kingdom is manifesting. The law and the prophet is submitting their ordinances. You are building. He's trying to equate the law and the kingdom. And that's not right. But you see, his syllables were limited. As you enter glory, you hear things and see things you have never known. Because God is fast finding out. And so there are realms you get to. The best answer is to be still. You are just quiet. What will happen is that the move of the spirit in your soul will keep you still. And God will be opening his oracles. Opening his oracles. And then there are other realms you'll get to. The only thing you can do is that your spirit pours out like a river. That's where we chant. Because your brain can't reach there. So you chant in the spirit. He said, be not drunk with wine. Where it is excellent. Because it's a realm of the drunken ones. You just chant. You just chant. You just chant. That's why we are chanting. Because we are overwhelmed by his love. There's nothing we say that will be right. If we thank him for what he has done, we are limited. Because even while we are yet thanking him, he is still doing something. You know what many people say? They say, if I met God today, I will ask him some questions. He will ask him some questions. Go and check. Everybody who saw him fell like a dead man. Is it not when you stand that you can ask questions? He said, when I saw him, I fell like a dead man. He had to talk into your spirit to rise up. Is this the one you are boasting that you ask him? Lift your hands and just honor God. Honor him. Let's honor him. Let's honor him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. If I overpress that, will we go to another direction? That's not what I came with tonight. Hallelujah. I want to share with us tonight the last part of what we've been dealing with. I tried as much as possible to stay with the theme of the conference, just to explain and expound on the things the Lord has put in my spirit. The theme of our conference is awake. And our anchor scripture is Romans 13, verse 11. So let's read it. I know some persons probably joined us tonight for the first time. So let me take it again. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And I told you, there are three major aspects to this scripture. Three major dimensions. The first dimension is the economy of sleep that the devil has put on many lives. And that has stopped them from fulfilling destiny and purpose. The second dimension, I said, is the power to wake a man. Because this kind of sleep is not a natural sleep that you fell into probably because you are tired. This is a sleep orchestrated by power. And if you sleep by a power, you will have to wake up by another power. So there has to be a trumpet awake, because if that alarm does not come, you will end up in the grave. And so you say, awake thou that sleepest. And the third part is your salvation. It says, so you wake up because your salvation has drawn near. Now, in order to understand this scripture in context, I supported it with another scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, awake. Thou that sleepest. He now added something that we didn't see in the last verse. He says, arise from the dead. Because this kind of sleep is a sleep that was stimulated by a spiritual tranquilizer. A demon injected something into humankind so that they will suffer under the burdens of the spirit of slumber. He said, arise from the dead. Now, there is a power that you need in order to rise from the dead. Because when you are considered to be among the dead, it means you have crossed the threshold of mortals. So it will take a kind of power, such as was manifested when the monarch stood by Lazarus' grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. That's the kind of power that brings men from the dead. And so this kind of sleep is the grave, and it will take power to come out of it. And finally, he said, when you are summoned from the dead, he said, Christ will give you light. And so in the last two sessions, we looked at what sleep represents. We also looked at the power that brings men out of slumber. And I said, in dealing with sleep, there are three things that I'll emphasize. Number one, I said to understand why the devil puts men to sleep. And I said there are three major reasons. The first reason is because the program of the devil can only be injected when men sleep. The Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. So if men are not asleep, the devil cannot walk. The devil is only permitted to walk when men are asleep. And I told you the reason why. Where your purpose was sculpted and crafted is a place beyond time. The devil does not have authority to go there. It's in the studio of eternity that man was designed. He said, let us make man in our own image. No creature can travel that far. So the devil will wait for you in time. When you come into time, he injects slumber into you so that he can reprogram you. Because before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you and ordained you to be a prophet, but you can become a vagabond. So when you find adulterers on the earth, that's not what God wrote. God didn't write adultery for anybody. It was on earth that they were reprogrammed. When you find the murderer, it was not written so in eternity. Most of the people you call murderers today are supposed to be warriors fighting the battles of Elohim. But when they came into time, another program was injected. And the reason that happened is because they were either asleep or the person who was their guardian was asleep. So the enemy came and reprogrammed. The second reason why the devil puts men to sleep, I said, is because he can only take territories when men sleep. This place we are fellowshipping now, if you lower your guard, it can become a beer parlor. The reason this place is the sanctuary of God is because there are watchers standing, and so they secure this territory. Why is the devil so interested in territories? You have no power to write laws except as you have a territory. Because the laws of Lagos are different from the laws of Benue. The laws of Nigeria is different from the laws of Canada. So territory is what informs the kind of laws that are written. And so the devil is interested in taking territories, either the source of men, or families, or physical ecosystem. But by all means, he must secure a territory so that he can write his laws. And so when you enter certain territories, you find out that immorality is on the rampage. Young ladies are just immoral. And you're wondering, what's going on? There's a law in the spirit. Even the innocent one, when they came there, they discovered after 3 weeks, they started being inspired to expose their bodies. Because there's an atmospheric law there. That when you come under that law, it's either you rise above it or you are subjugated by that power. And the reason the devil will have that level of territorial authority is because he has taken that territory while men slept. I told you in the morning, you enter some families, every 2 years somebody dies. It's not because of sickness, it's because there's a law, there's a cycle. And until a watcher rises up and breaks it, you will discover that that pattern will be kept for many generations. And so devils seek territories so they can write laws. But they will not have authority to take a territory until men sleep. And the third reason why the devil wants men to sleep is because your intervention comes at a time when you don't expect. The bridegroom usually cries at midnight. So it's when men are unsuspecting, that's when intervention comes. And so in order to quench your discernment, so you cannot receive your salvation, the devil will ensure that you are put to sleep. If these three things are in place, then they can reign, they can rule. Meanwhile, the agenda of God is for that men should reign in life, not demons. And so anywhere you find demons reigning is because men are asleep. Hallelujah. So the first thing we need to know about sleep is that what? It helps the devil to facilitate his program. Number two, I began to explain to us what spiritual sleep means. And I said there are four major definitions I will give you for this conference. Number one, I said spiritual sleep is a state of blindness where a man lacks discernment. He cannot perceive from the realm of God. Paul speaking, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes. If their hearts are blinded, they cannot see the glorious Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. And so, anything you say about God, it doesn't make sense to them. You know why? They are blinded. He said, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He said, we have not received the spirit that is of this world. We have received the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. So when men are blind, they cannot receive the things that are freely given to them. So the state of blindness is a state of slumber. The second definition of spiritual slumber that I mentioned is a state where you lack spiritual energy. Spiritual energy. You can sit on a movie for 4 hours, but when you carry the Bible, you read 3 verses, you doze off. And we were laughing over it in the morning. You got from chapter 1. You started from verse 1. You slept in verse 3. How many minutes does it take to read 3 verses? It's a state of weakness in the spirit. And so the moment they start in the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the word. You read 3 verse 2. They're already sleeping. And we were, you now tell them, wake up, let's pray.
Chapter 1, verse 1.
Father,
you slept thank you for this afternoon.
How many minutes does it take to read 3 verses? It's a state of he has left in the spirit. Thank you, Father, he has gone.
In the beginning,
no energy in the spirit. But in that state of slumber, if you tap him and say, did you hear what matter did? What did matter do? She comes alive immediately. And she enters gossip for 4 hours. There's energy. But when you switch back to God's frequency, there's no spiritual strength. That is a state of slumber. If you don't have spiritual energy, you are in the state of slumber. Now, the problem is that most of the things your destiny requires, they are in places in the spirit. It says God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You need spiritual energy to journey there. There is a place where favor dwells. There's a place where power dwells. There's a place where wisdom dwells. If you don't have energy to travel, how do you now get it? It's not enough that you have money. What you are looking for is in the location. And I told you yesterday, you can be in Lagos and be a millionaire, but there's something you need. It's only in Dubai. So it's either you travel there or you look for who can go there. Because if you don't go to that place, you can't have it. That's how Christ is. Christ is a world. Christ is a system. And there are many blessings in Christ in heavenly places. It's that you journey in the spirit that you lay hold on them. So you find somebody talking and the world is hearing him. It's not about English. It's about spirit and life. He said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. That guy has entered a place where he can talk spirit. If you like, carry the message, call it, and repeat what he said. People will hear you. Because when he's talking, in addition to the explanation, there is a sting inside his word that pricks the hearts of men. Because physical words enter the ears of men, the brain processes it. But spiritual words prick the heart of men. It will take spirit enablement for your word to journey beyond their mind to their heart. But you see, for that kind of power to come, there's a place you must journey to in God. That will take spiritual energy. And so when a man lacks spiritual energy,
is in a state of deep slumber. Deep slumber. And he can't fulfill destiny. I said the third definition of spiritual slumber is a situation where your emotions have mastered you. The Bible calls it the emotions of the flesh or the emotions of sin. When you find a man who is ruled by his emotion, he's in the state of slumber. He only judges things based on his emotions. If anger comes, he flows with it. If joy comes, excitement, he flows with it. He doesn't have enough energy to hold himself and to tame his tendencies. He is controlled by his appetites. And Paul said that is not the way of a spiritual man. He said, I run in order to be accepted. He said, I beat my body and I bring my body under subjection. My body does not dictate for me. I dictate for my body. The reason you can wake up by 12 and pray is not because you don't like sleep. It's not because you don't sleep. But you see, you have authority over your emotions. And so when sleep comes, you can bind sleep. And when you bind sleep, you can do spiritual business. But you see, when you start feeling drowsy and you sleep immediately, it means you have no authority over yourself. You have no power over your emotion. That state is called the state of slumber. When you find yourself there are many things you want to do, but you can't do them. Because when your emotions are manipulated, your emotions will rule you. And so the third definition of spiritual slumber is a state when you are ruled by your emotion. There are certain people, the moment money comes to their hands, their throat becomes dry. And the moment it's 4 o'clock, they go to a beer parlor. If there is no decent beer parlor, even if it's under trees, they are selling beer, they will go and sit there. And you will find a prime minister sit down under tree, he's drinking beer. So long as that test is there, he will forget who he is. And he said, a man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. That's the way of the man who is ruled by his emotions. Finally, we said, a man who is in the state of slumber is a man who is oppressed of demons. There are many people who are oppressed. Demons literally possess them, break their will, and rule their lives. And so they find that there is a power that has subjugated them, and there's nothing they can do about it. If you are in this condition, then in the spirit you are dead. In the spirit you are asleep. And for such people, the devil can reprogram their lives, the devil can hijack their territories, and the devil can rule over the affairs of their destiny. Even though God is alive, God is awake, and God is powerful, he may not do anything. Because God is able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all you ask or think, only according to the power that is at work on your inside. And so if the power at work on your inside is tamed, then God will not be able to do. This is why the Bible said, awake. When you are awoken, then Christ will give you light. And I said, there are four powers Christ injects into a man that he wants to awake. I said, the first power is allowing you to go through a situation that you cannot control. You know, when the man is living in pleasure and in plenty, he doesn't see the need for God. And so many times, God tries to get his attention. He cannot. He leaves him. Israel were in Goshen and they had pasture. They were enjoying themselves until in Exodus 1 verse 8, he said, another king that knew not Joseph rose. And that king brought taskmasters. When the taskmasters came, nobody told them who God was. On their own, they started looking for God. And when God encountered Moses, he said, I have heard the cry of my people. Not because of revelation. Because they had the Torah, they never read it. Not because of any other thing. He said, it is by reason of their taskmasters. Now that taskmasters have come, they have seen the need to seek God. And so the first way God awakens the generation is to allow them to go through trials. This is why James chapter 1 verse 2 said, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and tribulations. He said, those trials will work into you patience. And a point will come, a virtue will be formed in you, and you will want nothing. And so a generation that does not understand the language of trials will become so lascivious, and they will become a people of slumber. And so many trials that come your way, God did not bring them, but he allowed them because it will wake you up. When you are making 100 million every 3 months, you sit down and say, life is good. You know, where do we go for the next holiday? You are on your phone, you are checking. Do we go to a city with blue sea or a nation with a green forest? Which one do we want? You are welcome. They say, go to prayer meeting. You say, no, I have some prophets praying for me. Eh? They say, there's vision today. You say, I played golf. And when I came back from golf, I feel like relaxing. I need a masseuse. When the masseuse work for a while, trials will come with task and taskmasters. When they appear and they strike 2 times, if they say VG is 5, you'll be here by 4:30. You'll say, no, before we start praying, it's good to worship first so that our spirit will come alive. You will worship for 30 minutes before VG. It's the only taskmasters that can teach you that. Taskmasters. Task. That's how God wakes men up. That's how God awakens the generation. Because the blessings of God can make men become lascivious. And so many times, God will allow trials to spare them up so that they can wake up and seek him. I said the second way God awakens the generation is when they begin to desire to see the supernatural. God will put a desire in them to see the finger of God. And I told you in the morning, people get there when they come to a realization of God's plan for them. And they now say, enough is enough. That's when where Hannah came to. Every year, she comes to Shiloh. Every year, she sees people thanking God for many blessings. But she has not what she was looking for. And on this occasion, she said, enough is enough. She was not looking for a prophet to prophesy anymore. She was not looking for her husband to encourage her anymore. She left her husband. She needed to see the hand of God on that matter. And so she besought the altar for herself. She stayed there. She will not go. Ever I saw her, her mouth was jittering. And ever I thought she was drunk. And called her the daughter of Belial. She said, no, I'm not a drunk. What we are seeing is a response to the many burdens in my spirit. If you don't come to that point, when you tell yourself, enough is enough, you will continue on your sleep. When the angel met Gideon in Judges chapter 6 verse 13, Gideon was lamenting, where is the God that did many wonders for our fathers? Where is the God that we heard of? Where is the God we read about? How come our situation is like this? A generation that is about to wake up is a generation that becomes tired of the status quo. It's a generation that begins to insist, I must see the hand of God. The promises of God are not a lie, but they must manifest in my own life. When you get to that point, when you are dissatisfied, then something will stir you up and you will wake up. The third way God wakes the generation up is through hunger for his presence. Hunger. Hunger is a spiritual gift that God gives to everyone who is alive. You know, when a child is born, there are two signs that shows that that child is alive. The first sign is the sign of pain. When the child comes out, because of the pain the child feels, the child cries. If a child is born and he or she does not cry, the doctor will make sure they keep hitting the child until she cries, because she must understand pain in order to be wise. You know, for 9 months, he was in the amniotic fluid, floating up and down. Food was entering through the umbilical cord. When you are about to enter earth, it's a ground of warfare. So you need to understand the language of pain so that you will be wise. This one is not amniotic fluid. Here, there are angels, there are demons, there are wicked men. You must come as a warrior. So the first lesson the child learns is the lesson of pain. And when it cries, the next thing the child is looking for is what to eat, because hunger. Nobody teaches the child that mouth is the gate. For the past 9 months, the child was eating through the umbilical cord. Who told the child that things enter the stomach through the mouth? It's an intrinsic knowledge that every child possesses. In the same way, if God wants to wake you up, he injects hunger into your soul. That hunger is what will draw you to God. It says, draw us, we will run after you. Draw us,
So God begins to pull you into his presence. You find out that a song that was sung 15 years ago, suddenly you begin to hear that song. The song begins to come to you like an echo from eternity. And as you begin to sing that song, you start weeping. You start crying. You don't know what has happened. Nobody preached to you. Hunger has emanated from your spirit. And the reason God brings hunger is because hunger is the power to suck you out of the corrupt world and introduce you to the presence of God. Hunger. If a generation lacks hunger for God, that's a dead generation. There must be passion, passion to seek the presence. You stay there, and as the psalmist said, he said, as the deer panted after the waters, he said, so my soul longeth after thee. In the dry and in the thirsty land where no water is. The deer can perceive water from 200 miles away. The deer can risk his life to drink water. Even though the crocodiles are in the water, the deer will still go to drink. The deer will see crocodile devour one deer. He will come back tomorrow to see drink because he is helpless before water. That's how God will make his presence become to your soul. You will seek God in the morning. You will seek God at night. You will seek God all the days of your life so that the light of Christ can shine on you. And the fourth way God wakes a generation up is to put a burden in your heart to see the will of God done. Suddenly you become dissatisfied with the corruption in society and you start talking about it. You start praying about it. Not because you are looking for something, but because you cannot allow evil to thrive anymore. Suddenly you see the need for the helpless people in society to have an intervention and it becomes a body. And you begin to live your life to improve society and to bring the will of God. When God brings you to that state, he will wake you up to the light of Christ. Hallelujah. If these four things happen to a man or to a generation, that generation must wake up. That generation cannot remain in the state of slumber. That generation must wake up. But you see, all of these things are preliminaries of what God wants to do. Because the reason God wakes a generation up is so that the light of Christ can shine upon them. Tonight, I want to share with us briefly what happens to a man when the light of Christ shines upon him. Because the life God has called us to is a glorious life. When the Holy Spirit began to teach me about the plans of God for humankind, one thing I discovered was that it will be impossible for man to exhaust what God has made available. It's too much. The love of God is too overwhelming. The benevolence of God is too overwhelming. Imagine for a second, sir. The oxygen, there are over 7.73 billion people in the world. The same oxygen that is sufficient for all of us was the oxygen available to only Adam. God has not increased the oxygen on earth. The system he created to produce oxygen on earth and exchange it with carbon dioxide is the same system that was available for only Adam. So what God provided for only Adam is enough for 7.7 billion people. How can Adam finish exhausting what God made available for him? The life God has prepared for us is a glorious life. Anybody who steps into that life will only be described in one way. He will be described like the God that watches. When a man comes into his full element, you cannot know him after the flesh. You will know him after the God that he watches. Because God literally shared everything with us. In fact, Paul was speaking in Romans 8:17. He said, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs. God shared everything that he has with humankind. How can you exhaust that kind of blessing? And so when the Bible says Christ will give you light, it's not just talking about fluorescent bulb. It's talking about an economy of glory that Jesus will bring you into. And tonight, I will attempt to share with us four of this order that God has brought us into. Number one, Hey, I. Hey, I.
You know, there are many people waiting for an anointed man to lay hands on them. There are many people waiting for a prophet to speak over their lives. See, that is beautiful. But that's for children. That's for children. What God has brought us into is to live like Christ lived. Is to function as Christ functioned. The anointing will always remain relevant, but it will be for babes. A point will come when, as you rise up, immortality will break out of you. As you rise up, glory will break out of you. As you rise up, the God-like will break out of you. At that level, sickness cannot even survive in your body, let alone an anointed man praying for you. Because you move from the economy of healing into divine health. He said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said, the spirit will quicken your mortal body. So you don't need an anointing to be healed. There is a self-healing mechanism on your inside. And so when your liver wants to fail, the Holy Ghost goes to work. When your eyesight wants to fail, the Holy Ghost goes to work. When your strength wants to fail, before you call for the anointed, the Holy Ghost has worked. It's a self-healing mechanism. It's superior to the anointing. The anointing is there to help you while you are growing. But when you grow, your cells become intelligent. The Holy Ghost trains them not to be sick. Meanwhile, Moses knew this thing before the Holy Ghost came. And we are in the New Testament dispensation. We don't know it. Moses never needed herbs. Moses never needed anybody to lay hands on him. The Bible said at 120, his strength was not depleted. His eyesight was still as good as they were when he was a young man. At a time when the Holy Ghost had not come. And Moses did not just know it. Everybody that walked with Moses, the Bible said their shoes grew with them. The Bible said their clothes did not grow with him. The Bible said there was none feeble among their tribes. And these guys, God was not living inside them. God was just around them. You now, God is living inside you and God is around you. Are you not supposed to be a wonder to your generation? There's something we have not known. And that's why the gospel has to be taught again. Bible has been preached, but gospel has not been taught. When the gospel is taught, a wonder generation emerges. A generation that reflects and mirrors Christ and Christ only. Look at what the Bible said. The first thing God gave us that became light for us is His Word. His Word is a spectrum where His realities are trapped. And so in order for you to enter His reality, He sends His Word to you. He said He sent His Word to them and healed them and delivered them from all their oppression. So when God sends His Word to you, the whole reality of God comes to you. In John chapter 1, from verse 1 to 4, hear what the Bible said. In the beginning was the Word. It said the Word was with God. And it said the Word was God. It said the same was in the beginning with God. It said all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I want you to follow me. I will take it calmly so that you understand these things, because you will war with them in the day of trouble. It said all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He said, in Him was life. And He said, the life was the light of men. So the Word of God is a capsule that contains God. So God decided to encapsulate Himself in His Word. So when He gives you His Word, He gives you God. And He said, when you receive the Word, the God in the Word becomes a light for you. And He said that light that He gives you through His Word, He said that light now begins to defeat every darkness around you. And so if a man wants to defeat darkness, all he needs to do is to be in custody of the Word. Because when the Word enters him, the Word becomes light in him, and that light quenches the power of darkness. In John chapter 8 verse 12, Jesus went further to clarify this scripture. And here is what He said. He said, so long as I am in the world, He said, I am the light of the world. And he said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, he is trying to corroborate what John was saying. That when the word comes to you, the word becomes light to you, and that light will shave off darkness. But you see, Jesus didn't stop there. If you receive the word, it's not just that you now have light. It's one thing to have light and pursue darkness. It's another thing for you to become the light. Remember, for instance, if I give you a torchlight now, and you go into the dark, you own that torchlight, and with that torchlight, you can see. Is that not so? Now, if there is an attack on your life, where will the attack be? The attack will be on your hand that is possessing the torch. Because if the torch is taken from your hands, you are in darkness. That's why those who have the word, many times the devil fights the word in their lives. Because if he removes the word from them, the light will go away. Now, in order for God to ensure you completely, there was something God did to you when you received the word. The word did not just become light for you. There is something the word did for you. The word entered into you and the word made you to become light. So Jesus was speaking in John 5:14. He said, you now are the light of the world. I was your light. He said, now I have made you to become light. So now when you go into the dark, you don't need a torchlight. Yourself, you are glowing. If the devil wants to fight you, is it your hand he wants to fight or your neck? Everything about you has become light. So you are not carrying light in darkness. You have become light in darkness. This is why you become, you don't just trust God for an answer. You have become the answer of your generation. You see, people don't understand the gospel. People are thinking God is coming to give us an answer. No, God is sending us as an answer. God is not coming to give us an answer for our generation. He has sent us as an answer for our generation. But the way God did that was through a protocol. First, he sent the word to us. Then the word became our light. Then the word made us to become light. So when you touch us, you touch the word. You can no longer separate us from the word of God. So when we are talking, the word is talking. When we are acting, the word is acting. And anything that cannot happen to the word cannot happen to you. And so when you know this, a point comes when your prayers change. So you are no longer praying, God protect me. You are not praying, I'm the protection of my environment. Because as he is, so am I. Everything he does is what I now do. See, this is what the gospel has come to make you. This is why God is not... See, people are praying, oh Lord, come. Oh Lord, come and intervene. Sir, that's not God's program. When God created man, he didn't want to come into this world. That's why he sent us. So when we are in the world, we are representing him. When men see us, they see God. When men hear us, they hear God. Are you following this? That was the plan God had. That was why he placed Adam. The devil came, truncated the protocol. Jesus came back. Imagine when Jesus was on earth and Jesus is saying, Father, please come and intervene. Jesus doesn't pray like that. I am here, the Father is here. I have come, the Father has come. Every intervention the Father has, he put it in me. I came to give it to a world. That's how Jesus prayed. This does not mean we are exonerating God. It actually means we have made God to become part of our world. Because when we speak, God is heavily represented. You see what he said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31? He said, Christ has been made unto you wisdom. So you don't have your own wisdom anymore. The wisdom of Christ is not your wisdom. And so when you go out and there's a difficult question, you are not saying, God, oh Lord, what is the answer to this question? No, you speak in tongues and charge your spirit. When your spirit is charged, you show up, you begin to talk the answer. Because the answer is already on your inside. God is not bringing the answer from heaven. The answer is inside you. The answer is buried somewhere where your subconscious cannot get to. And so when you are praying, you are excavating the answer. When you are done praying, the answer will come out of you. That's why I said when you are invited to speak, don't think of what you will say. Open your mouth, I will feel it. Because the answer was already on your inside. Because you are now the light of the world. He sent the world to lighten your path. But now he has made you the light of the world. This is the first thing God did for us. So when we say, awake and Christ will give you light, He's not giving you light so that you will carry that light everywhere. Beyond giving you light, He is making you light. And so if you are in a family, the devil can't come there. If you are in a business, the devil can't come there. If you are in an organization, the devil can't come there. Why? Because you have become the light. Everywhere you are standing is as good as Christ Himself was standing there. People think Christianity is a set of rituals that we obey. It's deeper than that. That's what they were doing in the Old Testament. We are coming to flesh out God. We are coming to show God to our generation. We are coming to reflect God. Did you see the things Jesus said? Jesus said, when you meet the sick, don't pray, oh God, come and heal them. He said, lay hands on them, they'll be healed. Because when you stretch your hand, God stretches His hands. He said, when you go to the sick, don't say, Father, in the name of Jesus, come and heal this brother. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what Jesus said. You can be so religious, and you come, you want people to feel that you are completely submitted to God. And then you are saying, oh God, stretch your hands and touch this brother. Let your power come down from heaven. Whose power is coming from where? Jesus said, when you come to the sick, lay hands on them. When you lay your hands on them, my power has been touched. My power has moved. Because in your hands is my power. In your hands is my glory. In your hands is my healing. So next time when you look at your hand, you say, this is balm in Gilead. How can you be made a cure to your generation and you are sick? That same hand that you are laying on the sick and they are healed, that same hand is part of your body. If your hand is an antivirus, how can virus attack you? If your hand is an extension of God's healing power, how can you die of sickness? See, if you don't know this, the devil will now come and intimidate you. When you know this, anything that happens to you, there is a pain in your stomach, you look at it, how dare you? How are you coming here? Come out in the name of Jesus. It's not something you are saying, God, please, I'm feeling pain here, I don't know what to do about it. Put pain here. It says, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That means any part of you that touches sickness, sickness has enough intelligence to get out. How can sickness now be bold enough to make your body his host? You look at that pain. Sometimes when you look at it, aggression will rise, holy anger will rise out of your spirit, and the pain on its own will check out. This is the consciousness of the believer. The word of God became my light. And it is not just my light, the word of God has made me a light to my generation. He said, you are the light of the world. He didn't say, I am the light of the world through you. He said, you are the light of the world. When men see you, they see me. You have become one with me. That's what the world came to do. If you know this truth, your life will change, and it will change so rapidly. It will marvel. You will marvel. See, there's a level where you ask God, favor me. There's another level where you tell God, thank you for making me the reflection of your favor. There's a level where you ask God, give me wisdom. There's another level where you thank God, thank you, Father, for making me your wisdom. There's a level where you ask God, make me righteous. There's another level where you thank God for making you his righteousness. There's a level where you tell God, please give me power. There's another level where you thank God, thank you for making me the reflection of your power. There are two different realms. If you know that the word has come to make you like God in the God class, your life will change forever. Your life will change forever. There's a scripture I read that humbled me. In John chapter 10 verse 34. Jesus was making a claim that he's the Son of God. And they were attacking Jesus. And Jesus looked at them and said, it is written concerning you in your law that ye are gods and ye are the children of the Most High. He said, why do you now say I am blaspheming when I say I am the Son of God? Have you read that scripture in context? Jesus said he's the Son of God, and they began to attack Jesus because they said he was claiming to be like God. And Jesus now told them, but your law said you are God because you are the children of God.
Why are you now saying me saying I'm the Son of God is a blasphemy? So Jesus was actually using our divinity to justify his claim for his own divinity. And that's why John came and said, as he is, he said, so are you. So anything that cannot happen to Jesus, you cannot allow it happen to you. Anything that Jesus cannot go through, you cannot allow yourself go through it. This is what informs our warfare. You know what? When the devil comes to you, the devil wants to know whether you know. So he will put a cancer there. So that a point will come when you will say, oh Lord, you will begin by saying, oh Lord, please heal my cancer. You make the cancer your own. You have agreed with the devil. And then you pray that prayer for 3 years. When it no longer works, you will now descend further and say, Lord, even if I'm going to die of this cancer, may the pain not be too much. And then the point comes, you descend further and you say, Lord, if I die, please accept me. Don't reject me. The devil has taken you down to the pit. But when you know that you are the manifestation of God's healing power, when the cancer is there, you tell the devil you are joking. Sickness does not thrive in my body. Sickness cannot survive in my body. Because as he is, so am I in this world. So you are not begging God to heal you. Because in Christ, you are already healed. You are fighting that sickness from living in your body. There are two realms of existence. If we know this, then we have begun to live as Christians. Most of us call ourselves Christians, but we are religious men. We are doing many things that look pious. We are doing many things that look sanctimonious, but we are not manifesting and practicing Christianity. Some people will see it written in black and white in scripture, they will still deny it. If you tell a Christian now, go there, you are the light of the world, you are light in darkness, they will say, no, Jesus is my light, I'm not a light. And then he thinks he's being spiritual. Meanwhile, the Bible said you are the light. So when you enter darkness, you are not calling God to come and shine. You shine in the darkness. It says, let your light so shine before men that they will see you and glorify your Father. But a religious man comes and says, Christ is my light. Christ will shine in my darkness. Who's Christ? Christ is saying, you shine in darkness. You are telling Christ to come and shine. John Jesus said, their prayers God does not answer. And one of those prayers is when you are asking God to do what he's telling you to do. If you are telling God to do what God is telling you to do, God will not answer. You know why? Because he has already answered. He has made you the answer, but you have not seen the answer. Only you don't know who you are. Angels know you who you are. Demons know who you are. God knows who you are. You are the only one who does not know who you are. And this is why the gospel must be preached. You find Christians begging everywhere, hoping that they will be helped, hoping that somebody will show them mercy. That's not the life you have been called into. You have been called into a glorified life. You are not looking for somebody to show you mercy. When you show up, the mercy of God shows up. You are not looking for somebody to help you. When you show up, the help of God shows up. That's the life you have been called into. And it begins when you receive the word of God. Jesus said you have made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. Don't allow the traditions of men rob you of what God has already given you. When the word came, the word did not just come to give you what God has to offer. The word came to make you become like God. And that's why John said, as he is, so are we, not in heaven, in this world. If you look at yourself, are you really as he is? Do you really believe you are as he is? Do you have the consciousness of as he is? Or are you manifesting as he is? This is what defines your Christianity. Whether you are a spiritual man or you are a religious man. A spiritual man is one who takes the word of God as he is. He says, you have power. You say, thank you, Father, I have power. I don't need to have a feeling to know I have power. I have power. He says, you are the light of the world. You say, thank you, Father, I'm the light of the world. Anywhere there is darkness, if I come, light comes. I don't need to have a feeling. I am what he says I am. When Christ gives a man light, he gives him the word of God, the accurate word of God. Many don't have the accurate word of God. That's why they are still defeated. The second thing the Bible reveals to us that God gave us as a form of his light is faith.
is faith. And I need to explain something to you about faith. See, it's a very scary thing to preach the gospel. Many persons will call it heresy. Because the day you dare to believe who God says you are and say it, people will assume you are trying to remove God from your life. But it's not true. My son looks like me. If my son were to appear here, you will know that he is a smaller version of me. When he becomes 30, myself and him will be identical. That is identical with me. Does that stop my existence? Does that remove my place in his life? This is just, it's just growth. It's just expansion. That's how God takes over. God takes over by replicating himself. It doesn't mean himself will vanish from the equation. And in the subject of faith, I want to say something to you tonight again that some people may not be able to receive. Let me explain something about faith. Please sit down. There are two kinds of faith when you begin to study faith, or two order of faith. There is the faith of Abraham, and there is the faith of the Son of God. If you read Romans chapter 4, verse 1, hear what the Bible says. Can we project it? I want to take this in gradually so that anybody listening to me here, even a 6-year-old child, will understand what I'm saying. 5 minutes to go, I can change the atmosphere. Don't worry. But understand what I'm saying. He said, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Paul was studying the life of Abraham, and he discovered that Abraham found something. And he was asking a question, what did Abraham find? Go to verse 2 and 3. He said, what? He said, for if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. So Abraham's justification was not by works. It was credited to him. Go further. He said, for what said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So what Abraham discovered was a technology that for God to intervene in your life, you must have to believe in God. So the way God's dimension comes to your realm is when you first of all believe in him. That's what Abraham had. This is the order of faith that was lived until Christ came. If you go to verse 18 of this scripture, hear what the Bible says. Verse 18 to 20. Speaking about Abraham, it said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Go to verse 19. And he said, and being not weak in faith, it was that same faith he's talking about. He said, he considered not his body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Go further. In verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving thanks to God. So the faith of Abraham is, regardless of the circumstance, still believing God. Until God intervenes. Now, when Jesus showed up, Jesus now began to teach us faith. And he began to teach us another kind of faith. Remember, the faith of Abraham is what? You trust God, God intervenes. Jesus now began to teach another order of faith. And here's what Jesus said. Mark 11, verse 22. This faith is the God kind of faith. And I need to explain something to you tonight. So you will know why. When you start growing as a believer, God stops answering your prayers. You will think when you start growing as a believer, God will start answering your prayer. If you don't know this, when you are growing as a believer, God will stop answering your prayers. And I will tell you why. Jesus was speaking in Mark 11, 22. And here's what Jesus said. He said, have faith in God. Now, the original transcription of this Bible, translation, is not have faith in God. You know why these people wrote this? They wrote this because they understood the Abrahamic faith. They don't understand the faith of the Son of God. What this verse of scripture said is, have the God kind of faith.
And what did he call the God kind of faith? Here's what Jesus taught. He said, if there's a mountain before you, if Abraham was standing there, Abraham will ask God, oh, Father, remove this mountain. And Abraham will not stagger until God removes the mountain. Jesus was now teaching. And he said, if there's a mountain before you, he said, don't talk to God. Talk to the mountain. When there's a mountain before you, don't call on God. Talk to the mountain. Tell the mountain, be thou removed. Be thou cast away. He said, if you do not doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. He now said, when you pray for anything, he said, believe in your heart that you have it, and you will surely have it. When Jesus was teaching the God kind of faith, he removed God from the equation. So in the Abrahamic faith, you believe in God to intervene. In the God kind of faith, you use the power of God on your inside to deal with the situation. And so when a believer begins to grow, he grows from the Abrahamic faith into the God kind of faith. When you are a child, you have cancer, you say, Father, heal me. Father will heal you. When you are a child, business is not working, you say, oh God, my business is failing. Intervene. God will intervene. When you become a Christian for 5 years, God expects you to have grown. And so when you have cancer, you say, God, heal this cancer. God will keep quiet. Because now, you need to know how to use the power in you to kill the cancer. And so when you start maturing, you don't say, God, heal this cancer. You look at the cancer and you say, in the name of Jesus, I curse you. And the cancer will hear and obey. Because you have moved from the Abrahamic faith to the God kind of faith. If job is not working, you wake up at night and you say, you job, in the name of Jesus, I command you to start working. If a door is shut against you, you wake up and you start. You don't say, oh God, open doors for me. You say, in the name of Jesus, I command open doors to appear. And as you are talking, doors begin to appear. Because you have entered the God kind of faith. Are you seeing why? When you gave your heart to Christ, every prayer you pray, God answer. Now you are praying, it looks as if God is not answering. Because God wants you to grow. My son is 1 year, 3 months. If he needs clothes now, I will give him. If he needs food, I will give him. Sometimes, if he sleeps for 6 hours, the mother will wake him up, even without asking, and be feeding him. He will be sleeping and eating. When he eats and is satisfied, you start throwing it away. They will now clean his mouth. He will sleep. Even to poo-poo, if you want to poo-poo, he will just poo-poo. They will clean him up. Sometimes when you are cleaning him, he's kicking you. He's kicking you for cleaning him. When he becomes 20, if he calls me and say, Daddy, I need lunch, I will ask him, what is the meaning of lunch? If you need lunch, go and work. Make money and get lunch. If he calls me at 25 and say, Father, I need clothes, I will say, what is clothes? The way to get clothes is to work with your hands, generate money and get clothes. You know why? If I keep giving him everything at 30, I will keep him as a child. And so when he starts growing up, I invest in him so that he can put that investment to work. So when a Christian begins to grow, God starts stop answering his prayers. God teaches him how to create answers to his prayers. It's called the God kind of faith. I'm telling you why most of you are no longer seeing answers to your prayer. Because you have grown beyond the level of telling God, give me lunch. You have grown beyond the level of telling God, give me. Why do you think God has exposed you to a church where they are teaching you the word of God for 30 years, for 15 years, for 5 years? Because you have to use it. You have to use it. And so the second light Christ will give you is the light of how to operate in the world of faith. Because many don't know how to operate in the world of faith. That's why for 5 years, they are calling God to intervene in their family. They have not seen intervention. In fact, some people get offended and they say God does not exist. They become atheists. They are jokers. They don't know that the demand of faith is that when you grow, you take responsibility. And so a point will come, you will need to, you know, what God will do for you is that he will give you the resources to grow your faith. He will give you the word. He will give you men. He will give you everything so that your faith will grow. But a point will come. God will expect you to put that faith to work. When my son is 1 year, 3 months, we are putting him in crèche. We will keep paying his school fees until he finishes from the university.
When he finishes from the university, we'll give him 2 years to learn how to put either his certificate to work or the knowledge he has acquired to work. If after 2 years of graduation, he doesn't know what to do, we will kick him out of the house. That's how the ego trains the child. You know why? So that the child too can grow to become an ego. God is not here to answer your prayers. God is here to make you become like him. If you become like him, all your prayers will be answered. Because you have what it takes to create the system to provide the answer. When the cheek of the ego begins to grow, the ego will take it out of the nest. Because every day the ego will bring meat. The ego will bring food. But when it starts maturing, the ego will take it out. It will release it. It will fall. It will catch it. It will release it. It will fall. It will catch it. The third time it will leave it. If you fall, die. But before the young ego falls, it will check the muscles of the wings. It will start flapping it. It will start flapping it. That's how the young ego learns to fly. And so the second light God gives you is that the faith you need is already on your inside. In Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it said, unto every one of us, he dealt the measure of faith. Listen to me. The problem you are trusting God to answer, you already have enough faith to deal with it. You have not put that faith to work. And so when God wants to help you, he will tell you, my daughter, healing is on your inside. Power is on your inside. Favor is on your inside. Wisdom is on your inside. You go put it to work. When you now know this, when there is crisis, instead of crying, you go for a retreat. Because you know that what you need is to lock yourself for 4 days. And then in 4 days, kapa kapa. Rakabatoa, Jaba, Jaba, Parakaba, Satakabai, Yaka. As you are praying in tongues, the first day nothing happens. The second day nothing happens. On the third day, the river of prophecy will begin to bubble on your inside. The river will start bubbling. After a while, that crisis will start diminishing. And you will not know from somewhere on the altar, you will now decree, I cancel the affliction, and the affliction will be canceled. Somewhere on the altar, you will just decree, cancer in the name of Jesus, die, and the cancer will die. That answer was always there, but it will take 3 days of prayer to ascend to where the answer is. You know why people don't use their faith? They don't want to take responsibility. And because God wants them to take responsibility to grow, God will keep quiet until they grow. 3 days fasting, 3 days prayer, 4 hours meditation every day. You hit the gate of prophecy and you prophesy your answer. And then you are asking yourself, how come? You don't know who you are. Do you know the water you drink at a different temperature can kill you? When your water is at 10 degrees Celsius, it's cold water. You drink it and you relax. When it's at 100 degrees Celsius, drink it, your intestine will be condemned. Some man is. There's a temperature where you become volatile. There's a temperature where you become a weapon. There's a temperature where you become an answer. And the devil will keep you lukewarm, so you never attain that temperature. But if you know how faith works, you will keep cooking yourself so that you remain at a particular temperature. You wake up in the morning, you wake up with worship. You enter tongues, you meditate on scripture. As you are showering in the bathroom, you are quoting scripture. You are worshiping God. As you are driving to work, a message is playing. You are speaking in tongues. You enter your office, somebody drop charm. You match it and go away, the charm can't work. You are volatile. You are volatile. That's when you will know what Jesus meant when he said, if we step upon serpents and scorpions, they shall by no means hurt us. When you are physical, it can affect you. But when you are volatile, you touch it, it's like gaseous state. The charm can't touch it. And they are waiting for you to die. After 3 days, you come out of the office, they will kneel down and say, who are you? Kaparoda kapasana azeze zazavina paragata satavina aros. The mounted assassin on the road for you to die. They have cut their guns. They are waiting. And then you reach the last junction. And then you pick a signal. Take right. The people are following, hoping that you will enter the trap. They say, yes, he has crossed the first junction. He has crossed the second junction. He has crossed the third junction for you to enter the trap. They hold up by the right, but the signal say enter the hold up.
The normal thing to do is to dodge the whole door, but you are following another traffic system. You are connected from heaven because you have ascended in the spirit. And instead of going the road that is free, you enter the whole door. Even the people that set you up will become confused. Hey! Barakaba! Azeze Kamatina Tariata! Hey! They checked your life. They said, oh, this man will die in 3 years. And you don't say anything. Out of sympathy, they come to snap with you. Because the condition they saw in the hospital, they think you will soon die. You will snap the picture with them. After 50 years, when you check, you are the only one alive. Everybody that snap, hoping you will die, they have died, you are still here. Yeah. You know why? Because your life is not in your blood. Your life is in your spirit. It's a day born not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of man, but by the word of God. Your life is in the spirit. The body can perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. That's our calling. That's who we are. It said, when men are cast down, you say there's a lifting up. It said, let no one in Zion say I'm sick, because there are better languages to say. Instead of saying I'm sick, I say in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, I walk in divine health. In the name of Jesus, my health is flourishing like the cedars of Lebanon. There are better things to say. But if you are not ascended the corridors of faith, you will say human language and you will have human results.
We have seen it will not work. I say, I will not pray about it. You know what the Bible says? It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is on the law of the Lord. And on this law doth he meditate day and night. He said, it's like the tree planted by the rivers of living waters. He said, the leaf does not wither. And he produces his fruit in his season. I don't pray to produce fruit. It's my inheritance to produce fruit. And this is my season. I will flourish. It's not everything we pray about. It's not everything. Somebody called me and said, we saw a vision that you died. I said, you didn't see me. You saw something else. No. We don't die. We live to fulfill God's purpose. And when we are done fulfilling God's purpose, we translate into glory. We translate. That's not the language for immortals. I have entered where eternal life dwells. We don't die. We translate. And we translate after we have fulfilled purpose. He said, David, when he finished serving his generation, according to the will of God, he slept with his fathers. I've not finished my purpose. Even if death comes, it will go back. It's not everything we pray about. The devil doesn't give me prayer points. You see some people, today they are praying about this. They are praying about that because the devil throws visions. Lying wonders. See, oh dear. The only time I will pray about something is when the Holy Ghost gives me a witness. Address this matter. But something just comes carelessly from nowhere and it shuts down my operation. No. The devil doesn't give me prayer points. I'm the one that gives the devil prayer points. As I was coming to Lagos, many demons went on extra assignment because they know something is about to change. They know something is about to be destroyed. They know something is about to change. That's how we think. That's my consciousness. You are a wonder to your world. You are a sign. You are a wonder. You are a wonder. You are a wonder. Because you have the faith of the Son of God. See,
One thing you need to learn to do is, number one, charge yourself. And then number two, give commands. These two things, don't joke with it. The Bible said, you dearly beloved, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, charge yourself. And when you are charged, give commandments. Sometimes, after you charge, enter your room at night, look at your children, and say, all of you will fulfill purpose. There's no power that can cut you short. You touch the first one, you say, I secure your destiny. You touch the second one, you say, I secure your destiny. You touch the third one, you say, I secure your destiny. No matter what happens, they will succeed. Because you have written a law over their existence. That's the Christian life. Charge yourself and keep commandments. He said, where the word of the king is, there's power. Who can say unto him, what was thou? You are a wonder. Tell yourself, I'm a wonder to my generation. We don't know who we are. That's why we exalt the devil. Somebody hears the news and he collapses. Don't collapse. Go and charge. When you charge, you will pick an answer. That's how we live. Somebody's here, you say you have diabetes. They told you, ha, this thing we are seeing. You are about to die. You may not live for 2 years, not me. My assignments will still keep me on earth for another 40 years. And so diabetes can't take me out. And so when you are charged, you look at yourself and say, Pakakatoa, Arakto Pakatila, Rapida Kaza, Lilaro Makaite, there's another life on my inside. Diabetes, in the name of Jesus, I kill you. I kill you. I kill you. And the diabetes will die. It will die. It will die. Charge and give commandments. And see how your life will change. Makuraba. Sabak. Navira Kamanta. Do you know the beauty of the things we share? As I'm talking this thing, the anointing in somebody's life is beginning to rise. The anointing was always there. But I am charging you now. But you know what you will do? When you leave this conference, don't wait for a preacher to come and charge you. Lock your bedroom and charge yourself. And see the prophecies that will come out of your bedroom. Lock your bedroom and charge yourself. And see the visions that will come out of your bedroom. Lock your bedroom, charge yourself. And see the power that will come out of your bedroom. Karomakai. Zevak, Kaliga, Parakida, Zazanda, Faranda, Sibrakai. I'm seeing fire now beginning to rest on people. Fire. Fire. The fire of his presence. Areme Kayanta Sibarato Zamakai. Alegavinda Paragatina. Aragatia Sagabata Regavanda Sudak. Baranda Pratakira Parada the Pondo. Abrada Sagavinda. Aparando Sadragatia. Anagavande Sagadira Taragas. Come here. There are seven persons that God is giving a fresh baptism of power, power, power for signs, power for wonders, power for supernatural dimensions. Wherever you are, in this world, in the overflow online, in the name of Jesus, I release that power now. Take that power. Utter Satan, I want to lay hands on this one. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey. You. Hear this. Please help them. Here, help them. Imagine you, a believer, they tell you, come and bathe with a soap so that you will have favor. You, a soap on a mountain at midnight, you that is bathed in the blood, you that is bathed in the spirit, what soap can bring favor on you? You are favor personified. You are favor in expression. How can somebody tell you you have to bathe in a river somewhere in the night for you to be favored?
Spirit, you see all of them coming to pass. That's how you will use your tongue to shape your life. That's the calling we have. And I'm not finished. Sit down for a moment. I wanted to give you four things. I've only spoken about two. I'll round up now with the third one. The third thing Christ made available to us is His presence. His presence. We are the carriers of the presence of God. In John chapter 14, verse 16, the Bible says, God of mercy. If there we pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. That's first level. He didn't stop there. Level number one, He said He will abide with you forever. So God is with you, but He doesn't stop there. In verse 17, He went further. And hear what He said. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He said, but because it seeth Him not. He said, neither knoweth Him. He said, but you know Him. He said, He will dwell with you, and He shall be in you. So God has supersaturated you. God is with you, and God is in you. And then Paul now took it further. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he now said, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. So, we who are born again, God is not just with us. God is not just in us. We are in God. So, you are in Him and He is in you. And so, you have become supersaturated with God's presence. Anything that cannot survive God's presence cannot survive in your life. That's why you are a wonder. And Paul didn't stop there. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, he said, whoever is joined to the Lord, he said, he is one spirit with Him. So, we are not just in Him and He's in us. We have become one with Him. So, you can't separate me from God. You can't separate God from me. If you touch me, you touch God. If you touch God, you touch me. How can I now be intimidated by the devil? Now, look at the people of old. They didn't have God in them. They only had God with them. But look at the lives they lived. In Psalm 23, from verse 1 to 6, look at the testimony of David's life. Just because God was with him, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because God is with him, he said, there is nothing he shall want. He now went further. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. Abundance. He leadeth me beside the still water. Peace. He restored my soul. Salvation. Just because God is with him. He went further. Go to the next verse. He said, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake, right standing. Go to verse 4. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. A state of fearlessness. Why? Just because God is with him. He is in green pasture. He is beside still waters. His soul is restored. He is walking in righteousness. He has no fear of evil. Just because God
is with him. And he didn't stop there. He said, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. He said, he prepared a table for me before my enemies. Who told you all your enemies must die before you succeed? When God is with you, even in the presence of your enemies, with their bad wishes, with their bad prophecies, with their evil prayers, he said, you will succeed. And you will not just succeed. He said, your cup will run over. I prophesy over someone here. Step into the running over realms of life. If they like, they should carry 10 albums with your picture to the herbalist. It's not a prayer point. With all of that enchantment, they can take sand from the Indian Ocean. They can cut a tree from Sahara Desert. They can conjure every demonic mystery. He causes your cup to run over in the midst of your enemies. In the name of Jesus. The Bible said, if God be with us, he said, who can be against us? Who? Is he a herbalist? Is he a sorcerer? Anybody who pitches his tent against you endangers his life. When they call your name, thunder will appear. Because the God that you carry will appear on your behalf. David, he fought 66 battles and won all. He didn't draw one match. 66 battles he won. Why? Because God is with him. How many battles have you fought? Battles are not your problem. Your lack of understanding of what you carry is your problem. Your glory manifests in your warfare. Your challenges are the platform for your manifestation. And so, if the devil throws an arrow, tell him, throw your best shot. When this battle is over, I'll be standing. You are the one that will fail. I prophesy over someone. Every pit you have been thrown into, come out now. You look at Moses. Moses, because God was with him. The Pharaoh he ran from, he went back to Pharaoh and said, let my people go that they may serve me. What changed? There was no military training. There was no promise from anybody. The presence of God, he said, I will be with you. That was enough. The Pharaoh that Moses ran from, Moses came back to Pharaoh and began to give commandments to Pharaoh. Everywhere you fail, you will go back there and reign. As if that was not enough, Moses carried more than 5 million people and faced the wilderness. How do you feed them? What is the economic system? Do you know what it means to care for 5 million people? How do you protect them? In the Old Testament, when the world was still evolving, over 5 million people following one man, no economic plan, no security plan, no leadership plan. And the Bible said there was no people among their tribe. It said their shoe grew with them. They didn't have a need of buying every day. It said their garments was upon them. It never tore out. When they needed food in the wilderness, they didn't have to farm. They told Moses, we are hungry. Manna, supernaturally, bread, angel's bread, began to fall for them. They came and said, we want to eat meat. Even Moses became angry. I said, why are you tempting God? Where do you get meat from the wilderness? God said, allow them. They are in my presence. And that same day, or the next day, I beg your pardon, birds began to fly on their own. The Bible said God caused the east wind to drive quails to their camp. And birds will land on the ground. Other birds will rest upon them. Other birds will rest upon them. And the birds will not fly. Israel will come and carry, go and slaughter and eat. And God was too assured of his power. He told them, don't save for tomorrow. And so every day for 40 years, there was fresh supply of manna and of bread. And you are here. God is not just with you. God is inside you. God is not just inside you. God is joined to you. You are one with God. Where can you be defeated? I prophesy over someone. Everything you call a defeat vanishes now. They rebelled against God and God became angry. And snakes appeared and beat them. They didn't need hospitals.
God told Moses, cast a brazen serpent, put it up. Whoever looks at it will be healed. How can venoms come out of somebody's body just by looking? And Moses put a brazen serpent, and somebody is beaten by snake. He doesn't need to cry. He doesn't need to say, God help me. He will just turn and look on the pole, and the venoms will leave. Because when you are in the presence, you are invited to the realm of wonders. You are invited to the supernatural realm. I decree over you tonight, everything reducing the quality of your life, it goes down now. Don't let the devil lie to you, brothers and sisters. We are basking in the presence of God. God is not just with us. God is in us. God is not just in us. We are joined to the Lord. We are one with the Lord. What cannot happen to Jesus cannot happen to me. When I show up, Jesus shows up. When I show up, the presence of God shows up. The presence of God is in me. I'm in the presence of God. I carry the presence of God like a canopy. That's why I'm not afraid what the devil is doing. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Manda ki barako stavakai. Salaga benatela. The angels of the Lord are giving gifts to men. All over this place, my God, La Christa Eferanato, Bandala Peraste Vina Grasta Kira Paj. There's a new verdict concerning your life. Yours is the glory realms of God, the heritage of the glory realm by the Spirit. An exodus. Many march to glory, to power, to influence, to grace, and to shadow. Thank you, Father. Take that scepter. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. My God. What will happen to some of you this week? The impact will spread beyond Nigeria. You will see. You will see. It will spread beyond Nigeria. Tributaries, rivers, breaking out of you into many nations. Thank you, Father. Hold my hands up. I'm seeing power being committed to your hands. Take that power. Thank you, Father. The Lord is bringing you a new baptism, brother. Your story is changing. Help that brother. Manta brato safarakida haragata. Zazeli manta baristo brahadakar. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mama, your rank has changed in the Spirit. The Lord is bringing you an investment of honor and authority. Because now He has exalted you as a mother in Israel. Anybody who attacks you is at his peril. Because I've seen an angel come to stand by you. And he said, let our horn be exalted. Like the horns of the unicorn, I bring you that grace that comes with honor and authority in the name of Jesus. There's a lifting. There's a lifting. There's a lifting. There's a lifting. Ah! Thank you, Father. So let it be written. So let it be established. So let it be written. I'm seeing God impact children in this ministry with supernatural wisdom. Supernatural. Supernatural. Wherever they are, I release that light in their direction. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. We're out of time. We have to shut down. I'm hearing a sound like a trumpet. And God is telling me, somebody here, your ministry is about to be enlarged. It's a sound like a trumpet, sir. I don't mean to dishonor. This is a prophetic atmosphere. I know there are senior ministers here, but it's a prophetic atmosphere. I hear a sound like a trumpet. And God said, somebody's voice is about to thunder over the nations. Father, whoever that one is, let that grace rest upon him mightily. Let that fire come upon that one mightily. Take that grace in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, check your bodies quickly. You must have noticed a change. A change. I'm not going to take testimonies, but you need to know that these things work so that you can do it in your homes. It's not about the church. It was Pastor Buchi that said, the gospel is not for Sunday morning alone. It's a life we live. Some of you need to turn your bedrooms to an altar. From there, the fire rests. From there, laws are propagated. Commandments are written because you know that this is a reality you carry. Now, check your body. If you have noticed a change, wave at me. If you have noticed a change, a bone has been corrected, a growth has vanished. Come on. My God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's be sure. I'm not saying you are trusting God for a touch. I'm saying you have already been touched. You have noticed the healing now. Wave your hand. Let me see. My goodness. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Now hear this. Hear this. If you were waving your hand that you have been healed, come and meet me on the altar here. In the next 2 minutes, you are the proof that what we are sharing is true. Quickly, quickly. Do we have praise leaders here? Do we have anointed praise leaders? Where is the praise leader? Do you have the microphone? Instrumentalist, are you ready? Jesus, the name of God. Hear this. Those of you at the overflow, you don't need to come here. If you have been touched, keep coming on. Keep coming. Please let the sister under the power. Can you imagine? Nobody laid hands on anybody. They just heard the truth. They just heard the truth. You know what Paul said? He said, when I came unto you, he said, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. He said, it was a demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith may be built not on the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men cannot do this. This is the power of God. I didn't lay hands on them. They heard truth. They became angry with their situation. They commanded their situation. There was a change. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Look at the queue. The altar cannot even accommodate them. Omekwalanga ome oso e. Omekwalanga ome oso e. Look at this. Look at this small boy. So drunk in the spirit.
He doesn't even know. Can you put the camera on this boy? Look at this boy. He doesn't even know what's happening to him. Can you lift your hands and honor the Lord? When we have testimonies like this, usually I group them. How many of you were healed of eye condition? Everybody, you can drop your hand now. You had an eye condition, you have been healed. Can I see your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. At least 6 persons healed of an eye condition. How many of you were healed of an ear condition? 1, 2, 3, 4. At least 4 persons in this auditorium. How many of you had a growth on the left? A growth in your body. A growth. 1, 2, 3 persons had a growth. 4, 5, 6. 6 people. 7. They had a growth in left. We can't take the testimonies. How many of you had a bone condition like a fracture? My God. My God. Somebody give the Lord a shout! Now hear this. Nobody laid hands on you. You took truth. You applied truth. You have received the touch. The last day gospel is not for superstars. Every one of us is made a king and a priest. The reason we come to church is for direction. To be taught the truth so that we can apply it. These things that has happened to you, through you will begin to happen to others. In the name of Jesus. Can we take 3 testimonies? Only 3. If you have a spectacular miracle, you feel we must hear it. Something strange. Something. Okay, come. 1. Come. What happened to you, ma?
Before now, I sleep like I'm not okay. But I discover, I woke up last night to listen to your message with my husband. You only did yesterday morning or evening. When I listened for that 2 a.m., I've not slept till now.
Till now?
When I came here this morning after I listened. I've been under my hair for 3 days. I took drugs out of the way. By now, I should be shivering.
Everything is gone.
Everything is gone. And right now, I don't feel like sleeping. I'm awake.
You used to sleep abnormally.
Yes, I'm awake.
And now you are.
I mean, spiritually. Since I got home, all I did was to pray and look at my purpose.
Mama, what happened to you?
I see my.
Oh, she's crying. She's lost. What happened to you, ma?
Praise the Lord. You know, I have serious pain from my hip to my leg.
From your hip to your leg?
Yes, for almost 2 weeks now.
For almost 2 weeks?
Yes, even today, where I went, I cannot stand for a very long time.
But what happened now? It's gone.
I just felt I felt a light.
Glory to God.
A release on my leg.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.edfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.